Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/StephenTheWarman, one word. Also, you are listening to my podcast in one of two ways. You are either at my blog, the direct blog. Just enter lordgaul.podbean.com, and my podcast pops up. Also, the most efficient way and the best way to get the show is to go to iTunes. On the iTunes search engine, enter Warman Kickfighting Show or enter LORDGAUL, and my show pops right up. Again, I want to thank everybody who's been following the show, who's got a lot of good reviews off of the last couple of episodes where I talked about the year in review. I had some people message in about the full rules Muay Thai, the stadium show that I did with Rob Cox. Grateful for all those, that positive feedback, and I'm hoping that it continues as I am now going to go through the women's kickfighting world. I was going to do this earlier, but then I got the flu, but I'm better now, and Rosie isn't as busy now, so it all worked out. Everybody, Rosie Hayward of Female Muay Thai on Facebook. Rosie, tell the people who you are, tell them where to find you on Twitter, and tell them about your page on Facebook.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I am on Twitter. I'm more active on it now. I'm Rosie Hayward 1, R-O-S-Y-H-A-Y-W-A-R-D 1. And I am on Facebook. The group is Female Muay Thai on Facebook, and it won Media Resource of the Year for the second year in a row. Really happy.
Reigning champ.
And that's it. Okay. That's how you can contact me.
Well, as I said, I have the reigning champion with us. It is Rosie Hayward. All right. So we're going to go ahead and jump into talking about the year. First of all, Rosie, just looking at the 2014 year, just in general, what are your thoughts on it? I personally thought that it was a solid year. Clearly, Infusion is the most important source in women's kickboxing and Muay Thai. Clearly, they've got that hybrid rules. We still have tons of women making the trip out to Thailand to pursue and push careers. You know, whether they make money at it or not isn't so much relevant as much as it's something that they enjoy doing that they're definitely pursuing heavy. We had, you know, Kunlun fights put on gave a lot of opportunities for women. We just had this consistently throughout the year. Clearly, like I said, Infusion is they're the ones that's carrying the torch, the brightest, and as I look at their schedule coming up this year, they're going to continue to be, you know, first and foremost the go-to place for women to get recognition to it. But what are your thoughts on the year? Clearly there are some, you know, if you have a lot of success, we're starting to notice women get interested in MMA because, of course, the recognition and so on that comes with that. But just focusing on kickboxing and Muay Thai, what did you think about the year of 2014? Don't get into too many specific fights, just the year.
Okay. You said it was a solid year. It totally was. It was really consistent. It kicked off with some amazing fights with Denisha and Ilona. Yep. And Cyborg and Bars. And it just actually continued the momentum. There was just some awesome matches all year through. And I think it was a solid year, like you say. Good description of it. I think, women's Muay Thai kickboxing just really established now. Just so many shows that are including them. Glory still lagging a bit. But Infusion, Kunlun fights is pretty close behind them. That's it, yeah. And, yeah, it's a fantastic year.
And for sure, one thing I will say about the Kunlun fights is, and I've said it in the show before, I think China is eventually going to be the center of the kickboxing world. I believe that clearly Japan has got that history, and there's that long, you know, everybody, you want to go to Japan, and that qualifies as making it in this sport in kickboxing. Because of K1, they had all the big shows. You're going to go to Japan, and you're going to they're going to put on the big show, and you're going to be a part of that scene. Also, just the way the fans receive the fights and how they respond in the crowd and how they act towards the athletes. I don't think that that's something that's ever going to be replaced in history, but the ratings that they get in China for some of these shows, K1 show had really in kickboxing for the men, it had like one male draw that was a significant draw as far as the international scene goes, but it did like 80 million viewers. They've got so many people that, like, pretty much anybody, if you get even a decent TV deal, you should be able to have a very successful kickboxing organization. And Kunlun has been able to take advantage of that and bring in Valentina Shevchenko and so on. We've definitely got some good things going on in the sport. So let's go ahead and get into a breakdown of some of these fights. And then, of course, we will break down one recent fight as Shevchenko went against Lindsay Haycraft a couple weeks ago. But we'll put that at the end. We're going to talk about what happened in the year of 2014. Excuse me. First of all, let's go ahead and jump into the opener. Fight of the year and story of the year are the same for me. Rena Barz, as she defeats Cyborg Santos earlier in the year. I want to say the fight happened in March. I'm almost certain it happened at the end of March, early April. The reason why this fight was so significant for me, and the reason why it's also story of the year, it's not that Rena Barz won. Like, Rena Barz is a established kickboxer who had been doing this for a really long time. She has really good chin. She's got good movement. She's got a good combination of low kick game. The thing that made this so special and kind of existed outside of kickboxing and Muay Thai is Cyborg had an aura of invincibility. That was the thing that made her special as a mixed martial artist. There's all this stuff set up for when is she going to fight, Ronda Rousey, and when is she going to be able to make 135, and her history with, she got in trouble with steroids once, and like she just had this, she's this big, strong, athletic specimen, and you can't keep her off of you. And less than 10 seconds into the fight, she runs into a teep, and it should have been called a down, but the ref missed it. And after that, a head kick scored. That dropped her. She took several spinning back kicks that took her down that weren't called downs. She took a knee where she was clearly downed and saved by the rope, but the ref didn't call that one a down. And then in the fifth round, she did a spinning back kick that probably shouldn't have been a down that was called a down. And when I look at it in total, Cyborg still had her very athletic moments. She's way stronger in the clinch. Every time she got a hold of Urena, she would just throw her on the ground. She would throw knees. And she was able to score big shots here and there. But Urena just kept coming. And the skill and the fighting acumen all went on the side of Urena Barz. But after the fight was over with, people were coming to the defense of Cyborg in some camps saying that, this shouldn't reflect her mixed martial arts career. It shouldn't have anything to do with what happens with her and Ronda. It was like this loss affected things for Cyborg outside of it. And then other people were like, she's no longer this unstoppable force, this woman that can't be, defeated and so on. It brought so much news in America. I'm not sure how it was in England, but in America, it brought news outside of it where MMA outlets had to respond to it, and it showed up on a lot of sites. And normally the fights, like if I were to try to find line fights online right now, because they are owned by a promotion, they're not all up there. But the Urena Cyborg fight is up there. Like, people got it up there because it was such a big fight. So that was why that was my fight of the year, and that's why it was also my story of the year, because so many people were talking about it long after it happened. What are your thoughts on my fight of the year? And then, do you have a different fight of the year, or do you pretty much agree with me?
I am just going to disagree for the hell of it. That is my favorite fight of the year, but I'm still going to say that something else is, just to be contrary.
No worries.
I guess it wasn't such a big story in England. We don't have the televised shows that they have in other parts of the world. And the kind of main forum still doesn't really acknowledge, like, women's fights. So in England, anyway, it wasn't that sort of big news. But probably in Holland and other parts of Europe, it was. And I just thought it was a fantastic fight because it was just so dynamic. And to see fighters at their weight, the effect that their blows can have was really exciting. And the invincibility of Cyborg was, I knew that, Urena was the favourite for me, so I sort of missed out on that aspect of it. But I can remember, other females, Lucia Riker and Christy Martin, having that kind of air of invincibility, so I can appreciate what you're saying. And I am going to go for fight of the year as Jemima Betrian v. Wonka Hang.
Yep.
And because that was amazing. Wonka Hang didn't read the script. she really threw herself at Jemima. I've watched it a couple of times since, and she does sort of gas out a little bit in after the first round. But that first round is a amazing. So Betrium was down. Betrium was not well out of her comfort zone. And Wonka Hound just sort of burst onto the scene, and she's just stayed there ever since. Wonka Hound has been at least one of my top three fighters of the year. And that's where she made her debut. I was literally on the edge of my seat watching that fight. So I'm going to go for that one. It was around the same time. It was an amazing start to 2014. I'm just doing that to be controversial.
For sure.
Gosby Cyborg was awesome. It was an awesome fight.
Well, you've seen my Fight of the Year highlight. And in that fighter, the 2014 Fight of the Year highlight, I have the Wonka Ham and Betrayan fight highlighted. Because as you said, it was first time I've ever seen, Betrayan Jemima hurt. I've seen her hit, and I've even seen her down before. But when, Kjellholtz was able to score Tiffany Von Soos was able to score the down in her with the spinning back fist, it's more like a flash sort of thing. This one was clearly hurt and damaged. How are you going to get out of this fight? They could have called two downs in that first one, and she just collected herself. It was kind of the opposite of what happened with Cyborg. With Cyborg, it was more Cyborg was hurt and the invincibility was shattered and she was trying to get back into the fight, but she wasn't able to compose herself and put it together. Whereas Betrayan took that shot, was in bad shape, cleared her head, came out round two, needed to win it, won it. Came out round three, needed to win it, won it. Went to the extra round, and as you could see, Ham was just out at that time, just physically out of it. Just didn't have it, and Betrayan was able to push, and I'm like, that is kind of what makes a champion. That kind of fight, that kind of performance, when it asks more of you than just being better than the other athlete. When it asks you to go, okay, not only are you guys equals, but you're down. You're down to somebody who can score, throw punches just as hard as you can land kicks just as hard as you can. Now what do you do? And Jemima Betrayan was able to come back in that one. Definitely up there. I like that addition to the list. But I definitely wanted to go. I'm a big fan of the arena and Cyborg there. But I'll go ahead and add an honorable mention. Also earlier in the year, as we mentioned, the Denise Kjellholtz fight with Ilona Wammans was just, I'm telling you, the reason why I couldn't mention it as one of the best is because of the ending. By the ending, I mean Iona had won the decision there. And this is not new. This has happened several times in Holland. This has happened several times. It happened with the Urena Bars fight. It's happened with, a lot of male fights. They've got a commission of people that relook at decisions. And they can overturn things. There's a history of it. And they relooked at that one and overturned it. And I remember right away the camp was, from Denise was really upset with the decision and so on. And they got lucky because that should have been called a knockdown at the end of the fifth. Yeah. Even though she got up really fast, that head kick, that was a knockdown. But the exchanges that they had, the speed, and when Iona Wymans wants to throw, she's throwing. Like she goes to the body, like few fighters, male or female, in the world where she digs that left hook to the body. It was just all action. I did think that, if you don't count the down, if you count the down, I had it a draw. If you don't count the down, I did think that Denise had that really strong start. You could make the argument that she won the first three rounds because they did think that she outpointed her. And then Iona picked it up in four. And then in round five was clearly for Iona Wymans. But it's just action, back and forth, exchanges in the pocket. It's the kind of fight that, some people wonder, can women do with skill? Because my whole life I've heard that people say women bring the fight. So if you'd go to any boxing event, MMA event in the States, the desire to fight and exchange is not what women were lacking. The thing that people struggle with were, could they do it and continue to be skillful? And that's why, if you look at Bob Arum, and you mentioned earlier, you were talking about how there's that kind of Lucia Riker brought that at aura of invincibility. Lucia Riker also brought super skill. She was so skilled. And when Bob Arum, he said, I didn't like women fighting because I didn't think that they were skilled. I didn't think they were good until I saw her. And he said, I need to sign her because she's good. This fight, is an example of two very skilled athletes who threw sharp, clean combinations, who, you know, took very, you know, hard punches and just kept going, just kept fighting. So definitely an honorable mention there. Do you have any thoughts on that fight?
Yeah, loads. I mean, we talked about it a couple of times through the year. It was totally immense. And yeah, the intensity that they had, the technique and skill, and that you didn't need too much sort of referee intervention. They were quite content to stand at, you know, a really good sort of distance, not sort of collapsing on each other. You've got the throws as well. So if they do collapse in, Denise is still going to work. Yeah, it was a fantastic fight.
Cool. So
a real firework to start the year off.
For sure, for sure. So we'll go ahead and go into the next award, Fighter of the Year. This one was a split for me. I shared it with two people. Also, Awakening Muay Thai, they have awakeningfighters.com. They have an award show. They also went with one of my two winners. I have Denise Kielholtz and I have Anessa Mexen. And the reason why I went with Denise Kielholtz was because I thought the Tiffany Van Soest win was a big win. You know, like Tiffany's very, very skilled. And last year she went 2-2. She lost, you know, the two that I'm sure she wanted the most. She lost the fight to Kaylee Reese again early in the year. That was February. And then she lost to Denise Kielholtz. But Kielholtz got that win. And then she got the Alona win. And then, what was it, Krajovic in the middle of the year? I can't remember the date of it. But to me, those are three top 10 wins in your division. So I was like, even though she didn't fight more, I'm sure there are other women who had more total fights. Valentina Shevchenko, because of that tournament, she was able to get four fights this past year. And in my mind, I go, okay, I like what people are doing, but I value those three wins the most. And then Anessa Mexen, not only did she have a good year before the tournament of Infusion, she had a good run in that tournament. Of course, we don't want to give those results away. We want you people to see it. But Anessa Mexen had a good run in there. That's why I thought that, you know what, I'm going to combine these two and I'm going to make them my fighter and fighter A and fighter B for fighter of the year. Definitely very, very skilled. Anessa is, it's weird because she's so clean. Her low kicks are really, really clean. She's got good boxing. She fights at a really good pace. And of course, if you've ever seen Denise Kielholtz, she gets in the pocket. She throws fast hands. I actually think even though the judo throws give her clean scores and Infusion, the junior throws actually save people from her boxing because she can really, really box. Like she could really score well. So those are my fighters of the year. What are your thoughts? And do you have a different fighter of the year?
Yeah, I've got a different fighter. but those ones are good. You know, her results have been amazing.
Oh, could you repeat that last part? You just went out for a second. I think when you were trying to say Anessa.
Anessa has had really good results. I think she has been really kind of becoming high profile. She's been really sort of promoted well and is making a name for herself. And she's got the results and technique to back it up. I think she had a world title win earlier on in the year. And she came into Infusion as one of the later girls. And it was a good choice to bring her in. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that show. Really looking forward to it. I think it's, it'll do a lot of good for the fighters that were in there. Denise, she had a year that was, she sort of maintained her momentum as far as I was concerned. I thought she was excellent. But the standout fighter for me was Julia Borojikova. I think the,
well, hold on a second, folks. I lost Rosie. Rosie, are you there?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, cool. So you're going with Julia Brizikova?
Yeah.
Got it.
Because she was popping up on my radar more than she had been in previous years. I know that she's a good fighter, but she really kind of ascended in 2014. She had some really good wins. She won over Anke van Gestel when Gessel had been training up for the Jurina Bars fight, and that fell through. And then a week or so later, she fought Julia. Julia's about 3-4 kilos lighter than her, and Julia beat her handily.
Yes.
And Julia also fought Ilona and won. And I really like seeing Julia outside of the ring. She's just such a celebrity. She's, you know, she gets in the ring and she really does well and does the business. And then you'll see her the next day in some sort of mad gown with her hair in extensions and in some elaborate pose. And then she just has about a billion different kind of personalities, and I think she's really fun to follow. For me, she was Fighter of the Year because of her personality outside the ring, and because she had loads of good wins in the year as well.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a great answer. Those wins definitely stack up. The Yona wins, that was in a tournament, if I'm remembering correctly. That was they were the final of a tournament. And then the Anka Van Gastel win, that definitely was, because I remember how excited I was for the possibility of the Yona Barros fight. Yurina's bigger than her, so I thought that was, you know, I thought that Van Gastel was going to have, you know, trouble there, but I was excited about that match. And then when that match fell through, I was like, well, you know, that's disappointing and so on. And then she slid over into this fight, and I would have not have Brezikova got better. Like she really did have mixed reviews for me in the past. Like no performance where I was like, oh, okay, she's going to be awesome. She does MMA as well, if I'm remembering correctly. And she's like, she keeps herself pretty active. But man, she schooled Anka Van Gastel. Like she really showed more. Now that was just that night. Van Gastel could come back better in the second fight, you know, because I'm from kickboxing and Muay Thai. Let's fight five times. You know what I'm saying? Let's find out who's the best. One win doesn't do it for me in my sport. You know what I'm saying? Let's just keep doing this. So they could fight again. There could be a different result. But on that night, her boxing was amazing that night. Low kick game was good, but her boxing was really good. And I just watched the energy kind of get drained from Anka Van Gastel. That is a really, really good option for Fighter of the Year. And you're right, she is. And we had talked about this last year, and we talked about having the ability for these women, fair or unfair, to kind of present both the being physically attractive and also being very skilled. And I definitely think that they will never be separate in women's combat sports or in women's sports. I think that there will always be more eyes on you if you're prettier. That's just the nature of things. But you're right. She did have that, you know, I'm runway one day, I'm fight day the next day, you know. So definitely really like that.
I think she's got the kind of beauty of an actress. She's not necessarily kind of model looks, but she's just got a real style about her. Mm-hmm. She really works what she's got. I think she's great, yeah.
Right, cool. Well, we're going to go ahead and go to the awakening list, and just going to mention a couple of things. I'm going to mention some names that maybe we mentioned that they didn't mention. First of all, I will go with Fight of the Year, excuse me. We talked about it briefly, but they have Anessa Maxson against Funda Deacon, and then three, they have Kaylee Reese and Tiffany Van Soest. Now, the Kaylee Reese, Tiffany Van Soest fight, to me, was very, very technical, but it wasn't very, very entertaining in terms of this was a memorable bout. It was more of this fight is deciding who the best in the world is at this weight class. It was like something it did have energy to it, and it did have tension to it. Like, you know, watched a Little Tiger fight. And the fight wasn't necessarily the most entertaining in terms of a whole bunch of exchanges and so on, but the fight was pretty much all body kicks. And then as the fight went on, the pace started to pick up, and then Little Tiger was able to you know, win the fight down the stretch. But there wasn't a whole bunch of punching exchanges. There wasn't anything like with Kjellholt and Wymans did. There wasn't rounds that looked different, like Yurina Barr's first round, Cyborg's second round, Yurina Barr's third, fourth, fifth. Like there wasn't that different story for different rounds. Like, I really felt that the Kaylee Reese Van Soest fight was just super technical. Nobody wanted to make a mistake, and it just stayed clean throughout. But it wasn't memorable for me in that sort of, you know, breath. Also, Iman Barlow, Lorena Klein was on here. That one was just more of a fight where Iman was so superior in the fight, and Lorena just kept getting up, because I think she dropped Lorena. I want to say she dropped her like four times in a three-round fight, and Lorena just kept getting up and just kept pushing. I think that brings a different type of draw. You know, Vicky Church, Hexley, there's a couple names in here. Of these fights that I'm naming, is there any of them that you think, you know what, maybe I would consider that one for fight of the year or fight of the year a little bit more than others? Are any of them that kind of sit in your heart that I just mentioned?
I think Reese v. Van Soos was the most significant of those. Mm-hmm. I was just, it was a really big fight. They brought Kaylee over from Australia. It was a really huge event that they would bring somebody from so far and so good to fight their champion. Mm-hmm. And I think that Kaylee did just everything right. I think she executed a game plan, you know, to perfection and took Tiffany out of her comfort zone. And I thought it was a good fight. I can understand what you mean. It wasn't, you know, the fireworks of Ilona and Keel Holtz. But I think that's the standout fight of the ones that you've mentioned, because I haven't seen Anissa versus Funda Dickon. I've seen footage of both of them. Dickon just doing pads, and she looked awesome. So I would love to see footage of that fight. But Reese Van Soos was a significant fight.
For sure, that works. Were you able to see Vicky Church and Lauren Hexley? I was just curious. I wasn't able to see that one.
No, maybe not. If it's not sticking in my head, maybe cool. Not.
You know, so that's cool. It's weird. I did see Iman Barlow and Iman Gula. I saw that one. Yep. I'm surprised that one made this list. I thought that it was outside of the first round. I thought Iman Gula had an all right first round, but then I thought it was all Iman after that, Barlow after that. It's mm-hmm. Barlow, like, the longer a fight goes, the better she gets. So if you have a tough first round with Iman Barlow, you're gonna probably be in trouble down the stretch. The only fight that I would probably say that was a little bit different was when she won the Infusion title. Like when she first won it, I was there in England, and I thought that in that fight with her name eludes me right now.
Rufus.
Yes. I thought that was the one time where Rufus had would score boxing and then it go to the clinch. But Rufus's boxing was good in fourth and four and five, but she couldn't deal with the clinch. So they were still rounds that I could see going to Iman. But that was the only time where I was like, oh, Iman's slowing a little bit here. But most of the time, she gets tougher as fights get longer. So that's why that fight wouldn't have crossed my mind. I'm going to go ahead and move down the list. They had something on their list called Personality of the Year. It is – let's not go to that first. Let's go ahead and go to – I want to play with Knockout of the Year. The reason why I want to go to Knockout of the Year is because I thought that this year in particular, there were some fights that kind of showed that women really do have exceptional power to score stoppages in a lot of these fights. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to key in one particular, but I do want to bring up things like, for example, the body shot that was scored by Jemima Train to Christy Barrington. Like, that was, like, just awesome. Jemima has been able to score stoppages, you know, consistently throughout her career. But that stoppage was pretty, pretty clean. Valentina Shevchenko's head kick stoppage over Rina Mezepa. Another head kick stoppage with Kaylee Reese and Nangif. Iman Barlow's head kick stoppage over Maritzarda Hirsicia. I believe I'm saying that right. Those are fights where, you know, Lindsey Haycraft had head kick KO. If you saw my kickboxing highlight, like if you saw that highlight, you would see that in that stream where I show a whole bunch of head kick stoppages, a good percentage of them are women. What are your thoughts on women not only having the ability to score KOs technically, but now all of a sudden starting to understand the ins and outs of angles and how to score head kicks and just very, you know, I mean, let's be honest, violent ways to score big-time KOs. It's something that people think that the women's sport doesn't bring. But here, you know, I mean, Anessa Mexen, her KO over Adi Rodham, I believe I saw a piece of it in one of Anessa's highlights. What are your thoughts on women showing that they have the KO power?
I think it's probably a continuation of just women getting more technically better and more athletic. It's just inevitable that that's going to translate into knockouts, I guess. It's strange. It's something that a lot of 48 kilo fighters have been notorious for, knockout power, back in the day. Anne Quinlan and Erica Kamimura more recently, but that was always, you know, never mind their tiny size, they were always really good knockout specialists at that weight. So yeah, I guess that's it. You know, technique, athleticism equals knockout power. Sure. And I think that they're really nasty as well. I was reading on Facebook recently about someone in a fight, and she was in the clinch, and her opponent was sticking her chin into her eyeballs so hard she thought it was going to pop. So I think there's some girls that go in there with a real fight face on.
For sure.
Yeah, there's not anything. Girls go in there the same as guys do to, you know, your dearest wish would be to knock someone out in round one. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely makes it easier when it happens.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, go ahead, and I'm going to go further into further down their list. I'm going to go ahead and keep it pros. They've got other things like, you know, Fighter of the Year, Amateur Fighter of the Year on the Awakening site. I'm going to go ahead and keep it pros. I want to talk about what I had mentioned before, and they brought up Personality of the Year. Now, the name that they have as the winner is Kaylee Reese, because Kaylee is, I mean, those small documentaries they used to do for Kaylee Reese, they did them a couple years ago when she had won titles. Those are awesome. Those are great. They're filmed very well. They show behind the scenes footage, and they kind of talk about their background. And it's weird because I listened to, you know, her and her husband talking, and I remember when he said he'd gone to a fight event and she fought someone, and then she had introduced herself to him later. And then, like, later that week, she showed up at the gym. And then in his mind, he wasn't sure what to think. But then after watching her for one day, he realized that Kaylee is an exceptional athlete. I think she has a background in basketball. Like, I think I think she'd mentioned it on our Facebook before or whatever. But whenever she has a microphone, you know, around her, or anytime there's any camera footage on her, not to mention how consistent she is on Instagram, she really is a person that sells herself and sells the sport well. But adding to that, you know, Sylvie Vaughn, Douglas Itui, I hope I'm saying that last name right, Itui. But like, she is just, she's like the go-to person. You watch her Twitter, she puts videos up. People who don't follow Muay Thai or full rules Muay Thai or women's Muay Thai at all will still follow her and still watch her little insights, and she comments on things technically. And she is number 6 on this list, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if most of the people in the world were more familiar with Sylvie than they were with Kaylee, just because of Sylvie's work on Facebook and YouTube and so on. What are your thoughts on that? Iman Barlow is on this list. Anissa Mixon, I think they put on the list just because she's starting to gain in popularity, but I've seen all of the interviews I've seen of her, she does speak English, but all the interviews I've seen of her have pretty much been in French, and I don't believe that she's the personality like some of the other people. Julie Kitchen still counts as a personality. Urina only had the one fight, so it'd be tougher for me to put her on my list. But what are your thoughts on who you would say is the personality of the year?
I would say Julia Berezhikova.
At least you're consistent.
She really has entertained me. She really has entertained me over the last 12 months. I think she's just bonkers. I don't understand a word she says. Everything she says is Russian, everything she writes is Russian, but just the pictures that she posts so frequently of her, and, you know, just her with these curly hair and amazing.
Oh, Rosie, I think I lost you again. Rosie, are you there? Give me one moment, folks. I'm going to go retrieve Rosie. Sorry, folks, I got Rosie back. Rosie, you had just said you don't understand anything she says. She's usually speaking Russian, but what she posts and so on, and go.
just talking about her pictures and a couple that stick out in my mind of her with curly long extensions and a big dress on with a train, and then the next day her down a coal mine. So you get that kind of thing from her. She's just very charismatic, I think, and very stylish. She's my personality of the year. Kaylee Reese totally deserves that, and also Kaylee has gone from not promoting herself at all. There was a stage a couple of years ago where it was kind of a point of modesty or something that she would never promote her own fights. She would like somebody else to do it, but she wouldn't do that herself. So she's really taken a big leap in coming out there and promoting her fights, promoting the shows, being a little bit of, she puts kind of motivational stuff up on there now and stuff like that. I think she's really grown in personality. And she also does a hell of a lot for the Muay Thai scene in Australia. She sort of heads up a website that covers everyone's fights. So I think that she was a deserving winner of that. It's a weird category.
Yeah, it is. It is. I only brought it up just because I want to sell some of my listeners on female sporting combat. They are Muay Thai fighters, kickboxers, female fighters in the combat world. And necessarily, and I don't have a problem with it, not everybody's into female fighting. But when I get to something like personality and so on, it might be a way for me to tell a listener who's never seen any of these fighters before, a lot of these names might be foreign, I start to mention a couple of fights here and there, and they go, okay, I remember the Cyborg fight. And then they go, okay, just enter Jemima Patrain's name in, and then her fight with Ham pops up, and then you see it. Or they'll go, oh, I remember that from the kickboxing highlight that you made, and so on. So I'm just trying to put a face to these, because, you know, for the rest of, you know, if you watch boxing or mixed martial arts and so on, you're usually given the opportunity to meet some of these athletes. So when I saw that they had personality of the year, and I go, you know, normally that doesn't deal with what's happening in the combat part of it, but there are women that are selling themselves and selling the sport in a certain way, and I wanted people to know about that. Just like, you know, I want them to know that Infusion still heads up, that they're the promotion that's doing the most fights for women. You still got Lion Fight, what is it? Kunlun, as I mentioned before, you know, KO Promotions, stuff like that. There's opportunities out there, and I wanted people to know. And that's pretty much why I kind of focused on that question. But now I'm going to go ahead and we get out of awards. We're just going to talk about the athletes that compete. Let's go ahead and start with, I'm going to go with some fighters from Japan and get your thoughts on them. I'm going to start with Rina. Rina once again won the shootboxing women's title. Now, it was, of course, made a little bit easier because, as we mentioned, Erika Kumamura we mentioned this last year. It broke my heart because I've been following her for a very, very long time. I've been following her since she was 16, 17 years old. She had to retire from the sport due to illness, and then she was still coaching. And then I heard that she had to stop coaching due to illness. And now, again, I don't know how threatening it is, but she's just I love her story. I'm going to do a highlight later this year that's just on women's fighting, and I'm going to open with her talking about how she used to get in trouble, and then her dad wanted her to do something in the sport. Like, he wanted her to do something, like, to get off the streets or whatever, and they agreed that she would try out, like, kickboxing together because it was down the street from them. And then that turned her into her being a world champion that had exceptional KO power in her left hand, you know? And it's like, she would be, her and Rena, I thought, were going to be this competitive fighter, you know, relationship where they look back on their career and go, man, we fought each other 6 times and you know, we're 3-3 or 4-2 or that kind of deal, whatever, you know? And so Rena doesn't have that opposition out of there anymore. But Kristina Georgievic, who she's fought before, Kristina Georgievic came back with a more developed game for shootboxing. But Rena, of course, was able to not only win another stoppage, like, she's able to score to the body. She's able to, this time she showed the skill to punch out of the clinch when her Thai opponent was trying to strike there. What are your thoughts on Rena, who, of course, she qualifies. She's pretty. She not only won the tournament, but they used her on the big male card later in the year where she got a victory. But what are your thoughts on Rena as a fighter on the international scene?
I know her from publicity. I don't know her from fight footage. Maybe a few clips here and there, but I've never been able to track down entire fights of hers.
Boy, did you say the right person. I'll send you to a little bit later. Yes. The whole tournament's out there. Like, where the tournament?
Okay. I'm just very slow at catching up on it. I'm too busy writing lists. Yeah, that would have been amazing if she'd have had that kind of rivalry. That would have been a really good story, and Japan would have been the country where that could have happened for female fighters. So that is a shame. And Rena just looks, she's been invincible. I mean, since I've sort of, you know, been getting to know fighters globally, Rena's been up there all the time, and yeah, just never loses. I would would really like to know, you know, just how popular these fighters are in Japan. They've got such a, you know, they have their own blogs, they have cards of them and things like that. It would be interesting for me to know just kind of where they fit into the society and how well known they are. But she comes across as a really big name and invincible, and I enjoy what little I see of her. It's all in Japanese and just sort of bits of writing and stuff. But that's what I have to say about Rena.
For sure. I'll go one more Japanese fighter, Little Tiger. She is someone we've talked about on the show for a couple of years now. She's super active. Like she fights at 102 pounds. She's very small. Like she's smaller than the smaller fighters that we're used to. She's very small. But, you know, you've got a couple of her fights, probably more than a couple of her fights on your fan page. And she's very skilled. She has a great understanding of distance. You know, she's first introduced to me, of course, through shootboxing. I'd seen her, on one of the undercards there. But, like, she fights full rules Muay Thai, kickboxing, whatever it is. And she is very active. She goes over to Thailand, finds fights, because there's a lot of women her size to compete with down there. She won the WBC title, I want to say, at 102. What are your thoughts on her as an international product? And this is an easy one for people to look up. Little Tiger. Literally, put that in.
I love Little Tiger. And I think it's really interesting now with Sylvie Von Douglas Ito documenting so much of her game, and she's rising up to the level of the world champion. She's sort of fought a few unknowingly, and last year and this year has really been up amongst the kind of elite in her weight class. And a fight between her and Little Tiger is I'm sure in the pipeline. And so the whole background of what Little Tiger's achievements are is being documented by her potential opponent Sylvie. And she's really, really got a great knowledge of Muay Thai. She can really work the rules and the technicalities of the scoring and things like that. She's fantastic. You know, just no problem, shows up in Thailand, does training there, gets fights there. A proper professional fighter. Very, very interesting story. And I can't wait till her and Sylvie have a kind of showdown.
For sure.
Really interesting.
Definitely. Everything's pointing to that as the big fight in that weight class, you know, around 100 pounds and so on. And you got to be a hardcore junkie to be into fighting at 100 pounds. But luckily, you and I are. So Tiffany Von Soest, what are your thoughts on Tiffany Von Soest here? We had the, you know, she went 2-2. She won against Payne for a second time. And then she had the win over Cindy Huyer. Even though, like, I didn't like the end of that fight because the Teep scored and clearly Cindy was trying to cover herself up and the ref considered it a, you know, looking away or quitting or whatever. He called it a stoppage afterwards. Tiffany was winning clearly before that. Like, clearly she had it down earlier. It was still a complete performance, but she had those two wins. And even though she lost to Reese and she lost to Denise Kielholtz, she was right there. Like, she didn't lose to Kielholtz. The fight was pretty much in, you know, really close, small edge to the work rate of Denise Kielholtz up until that spinning back kick back fist landed and scored the down at Tiffany Von Soest. And again, it was more of a technical strike at the right time, more so than it hurt the individual. But I really thought that Tiffany had a solid year. Plus, she's re-signed with them. They've got her set up for big fights again this coming up year. She's one of the few female fighters in the world that's got a steady paycheck coming. She could live off of her fighting. What are your thoughts on her last year and going into next year?
I think she's fantastic. I think she had a challenging year in 2014. To me, it doesn't matter at all, you know, the result of a fight. If it's been a decent fight and somebody's given a really good account of themselves in difficult circumstances, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's a victory for them. And I think Tiffany putting herself against Kaylee and against Denise is just so good for the sport. I think she really deserves a lot of credit, and I'm really glad that her promotion team have signed her again. And I think she's just going to learn from those. You know, you have to kind of publicly jump in against these top fighters, I think that Thai boxing is a sport where you don't have to win all the time. You know, it's not like boxing where you get a kind of manufactured record.
Yeah.
So I hope that the public just give her, don't sort of put much emphasis on a couple of losses to absolutely incredible athletes. I think she'll take over from those. You know, Kaylee and Denisha. Denisha's moving into MMA probably.
Yeah.
Kaylee is I'm sure coming towards the end of her career, and Tiffany will go on longer. And I think she's right where she needs to be. You know, she's fighting the big names and doing nicely, learning from it.
We'll stay here in North America. We'll go ahead and let's go to South America. Let's go with Valentina Shevchenko, who not only had the undefeated year again last year with, you know, her success in the Kunlun tournament, but she also had a victory over Lindsay Haycraft. And my favorite thing about it was, you know, a lot of people follow me because of what my job is as far as, you know, coaching mixed martial arts and so on, whatever. But before Valentino fought, I was sending out the message to people. I said, hey, you guys got to see this fighter. Like, she has a great understanding of distance. She's really, really quick. And Valentina Shevchenko is exceptional at understanding footwork. Like, she'll move back like two steps, and as soon as you move into her range, she knows it and she can hit you right there. So that's why she's able to get that flash, those spinning back kicks and so on. Also, the KO she scored, where she kept scoring to Arena's body with the body kicks, and then she brought the high kick up later in the round. Like, just simple things like that. What are your thoughts on Valentina Shevchenko's year, and what are your thoughts on her last performance over Lindsay Haycraft?
I thought that she had, I mean, she's already well up there, you know, living legend, one, you know, the best, nobody can beat her, it's ridiculous to go against her and stuff like that. And then she just upped her game, as far as I'm concerned, in 2014. Mm-hmm. She looks a lot more, she's sort of, the tempo of her fights are kind of more kind of Thai style. I think she can adapt to more different styles.
Mm-hmm.
She was quite bouncy, I think, before, and she doesn't need to do that now. She can do what she needs to do from a very kind of static position. So it makes her even nicer to watch, I think. And I think she had a blistering year, and she looked even better in 2014 than I think she has done before. And the fight against Haycraft was just incredible. She's incredible. Her techniques, her spinning moves, the way that she barely gets touched with anything. She's got an answer for everything. She's an incredible fighter. Yeah, if you haven't seen her, you should hunt down that fight and watch it, of her and Haycraft. Haycraft is no slouch.
For sure. And we're talking about Valentina. What people don't know is that fight was at 135 pounds. That is not her weight class. She fights smaller than that. She has won, you know, at the, you know, IFMA games at much smaller weight classes than that. She's won at 126. Mm-hmm. She's won at 130. I'm sorry, I'm doing in pounds. I know a lot of you guys are used to 70 kgs and that kind of, you're used to kg talk, but I'm doing, so she's won 60 kgs, for example. She's won that weight class. She's just fighting up four opportunities. So I'm glad that I talked to the guy who ran that promotion. We were talking about fights for a while. Excuse me. He fully plans on using Valentina Shevchenko again. She has it in her contract. So you guys are going to get to see her in the States again on that kickboxing promotion. I'm going to keep going here. What are your thoughts? We're going to hit two youngsters from Australia. We're going to go with Sam Brown, and we're going to go with Kristina Jurjevic. Kristina Jurjevic had an interesting year because not only did she get fight opportunities, she came off of a long injury. She had, you know, like a knee. I can't remember. She did an interview with me. I'm pretty sure she had torn a ligament in her knee. She was gone for a while. Then she came back and she had the opportunity to fight on a card earlier in the year. Then she had a four-man tournament where only three girls showed up. And she wanted to fight in two fights. One of the other girls got a bye. She ended up fighting twice. She won that. Then she got the opportunity to fight in shoot boxing again. And I remember watching her, another person to follow, Kristina Jurjevic. You know, if you guys need to, you could find her through my Instagram, Stephen the Warman. Definitely a person to follow on Instagram is Kristina Jurjevic. Now, again, she's young. She's like 21, 20, 20 years old or whatever. So she still hangs out with friends and goes to parties. So she posts those kind of pictures. But she also posts her training pictures. And every day it showed her working on standing submissions, standing arm locks. She was preparing herself to be a shoot boxer, whereas before I thought that she was a Muay Thai fighter, just fighting kickbox, you know, fighting in shoot boxing rules. So she comes out, has a great performance in her first fight. She ends, you know, she loses to the eventual champion in her second fight, and then I can't remember, she may have had one more fight in that year, but that is a really complete year. And then we have Sam Brown, who had the buzz for Sam was earlier last year, like. Footage came up of, like, you know, there's this girl. Like, I started to hear, like, news reports coming out of Australia. Watch out for this girl. Long time ago, when I wrote for World Muay Thai way back in the day, Sam was, like, in her teens, and she had made it. Like, headgear and so on. I just saw the magazine the other day. I was looking at it. And she was in that magazine as a teenager. Now she's growing into a young adult. She went out to do the Infusion show. What are your thoughts on Sam Brown and Christina Georgievic, kind of the future young fighters in Australia right now?
Australia's in a really good place. Australia's is in such a good place. They almost don't need the rest of the world. They're so supportive of each other. They've got so much competition going on amongst them. They don't mind fighting each other again and again and again. They've got Thailand really close. So Australia generally is a good place to develop as a female fighter, I think. Sam, you picked her as one to watch for this year. When we were talking about 2013, you picked her. I've just spent the rest of the year thinking, yeah, he was right. He was right. So, well done, and she has had an amazing year. She's really just sort of grown on my radar again, and she's going to have a really interesting fight coming up in the next month, I think. I think towards the end of February, she's fighting Kaza Bullet Williams, who was one of the first kind of pioneers of Thai boxing in Australia. So that's a real kind of, old school versus new school is the way it's being promoted. It's fantastic. There's been pictures Sam put up of her, one of her first fight. Bullet was refereeing, and now they're going to be facing each other. So that's a really interesting fight to be involved in. She's been involved in.
Yeah, it's so funny that you said that.
I'm going around her.
You still there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. So you dropped out for a second. Yeah, it's so funny you said that, because in that same magazine, the Bullet is in that magazine doing an instructional that I'm talking about. Her and her husband. She's doing an instructional because she was like, when we say pioneer, she's also one of the first women to have the first all-women's fight class in a Muay Thai gym in Australia. Like, she just have a class that was, some of them were cardio and some of them were for fighters. They were just all women, and she ran that class. So when I saw that Williams was going to be fighting Brown, in my mind, I just go, man, it's so weird to see. I mean, it's supposed to be that way. The new is supposed to fight the old. It's always supposed to be that way. And I'm glad that Brown gets this opportunity. I'm excited for that fight. If you're from Australia and you're going to that show, post that video. Post it. Send it to me. Send it to Rosie. We need your help. I can't tell you guys enough. Even one of the Little Tiger fights, the Little Tiger fight that I watched earlier today, was done by a fan in the audience. Get your phones out. Help out the kickboxing sport. We love you so much when you do it. But definitely, I was very happy for Sam. I'm really excited to see what happens in the Infusion show. I just want to see that dynamic. I want to see her compete. Uh-huh. And really, my favorite thing about the Infusion show is it builds relationships so that women can see other women to fight. So that when they go back home, they say, hey, there's this girl who we can bring in as an opponent for me. And clearly, when you're talking about international, you're going to have to make it up with local ticket sales. So if you're a draw and they're like, okay, I can bring in this amount of fan base and so on, I can bring this audience in to pay for my ticket. Like I went to a promotion in mixed martial arts where they flew in one of my friends and he asked me to corner him. And I went out there to help him corner in the fight. And they said, we're probably going to just get even on the main event. We make our money from the rest of the card. So when these women get together, these women, Brown could be a potential headliner. Barlow already a headliner. She's fighting. Barlow fights once or twice a year in her hometown. She's going to be doing that again soon. That's the kind of thing that I thought was going to come out of the show. Just like what happened with, for those of you guys who remember when Contender Asia came out with the Muay Thai show, after that show ended, Australia did John Wayne Parr versus pretty much everybody on that card at one period of time because it was easy money. They'd already told you who they were thanks to this show. So you just keep bringing in those athletes. So I'm hoping that that's what emerges from the women. So I'm hoping that Sam Brown, after this fight, has the opportunity to fight somewhere else. And then it just kind of keeps growing upon itself. I just mentioned Iman Barlow. Of course, you and I are big, huge Iman Barlow fans. Only is Iman going to, you know, continue to fight in Infusion, as after the show was done filming, she came in, fought on for Infusion back in December. What are your thoughts going into the next year? Is she going to, she was my fighter of the year 2013. This is the kind of year where I'm hoping that she recaptures that. Not that she was out of contention this past year, but more, she is such a exceptional fighter. And such an entertaining fighter. And you said it the best. You said, girls keep fighting Iman. She's one of the few elite fighters in the world in the women's division where people keep signing up to compete with her. And that's rare in this sport. Most of the time, if a woman's super dominant, most coaches say, stay away from that girl. In this situation, they're like, let's give her a chance. What do you think about Iman moving forward? Oh, no. Rosie, I think I lost you again. You there, Rosie? Rosie. All right, everybody. I have once again lost Rosie Hayward. I will get her back, and we'll finish out the show. All right, everyone, I got Rosie back. Rosie, Iman Barlow, go.
Iman Barlow, I was mentioning that she's got a fight coming up in her hometown against Therese Gunnarsson, who's just won the Swedish national championships. Another great fight, another great opponent. And coming up further in the year, she might have something. I might know something, but not be able to tell.
Okay.
And Iman is, she's really great for the women's sport. We've had to kind of build our personalities. You were saying, you're mentioning about, you know, having to promote fights and people knowing people, and it's quite different from the male game where you have, I don't know what you have, but we have Iman Barlow, who just giggles constantly.
Yes.
And has sort of carved out a little niche for herself there, being a real badass fighter and a real giggler in her interviews, and it's very compelling to watch. I think that she'll have a fantastic... Oh, I'm going to go to a seminar with her and Christy Brereton in a week or so. So she's doing that. She's teamed up with Christy for at least one seminar. So that's really nice. Maybe they'll roll that out and go abroad or something, the pair of them. And I think she's just going to have another fantastic year. I think she's super motivated still hungry to do really well in her sport. I don't think that's diminished, so I can see her just having another blistering year with lots of really, really fantastic matches / rematches.
For sure, because if I look at, like I was saying before, with that show and, you know, Casamui with them doing the Infusion show, it was so easy for me to look at that cast and say, of all the fighters, the number one person, even, and she was the favorite to win the show going in, Iman will have the team of people in her hometown to go out and pay for any of the other 15 girls to come to her hometown to fight her. Like, they will give that opportunity if you come. Because, like, they have – and, again, the judging in England, in my personal opinion, is one of the fair places in the world internationally. So if you're thinking about taking an international fight in England, as far as Muay Thai goes, I've seen some guys come in there, you know, Albert Kraus, you know, Gago Drago, and be in some close fights and still get the decision. I think that they've done a good job of being fair in England. Not so much in, like, places like Italy. Like, I've been to Italy before, and I've seen some horrible decisions in Italy that made no sense. I've seen some horrible decisions in Spain that made no sense for the home fighter. I really believe that even though Iman's people are bringing out, it's her hometown, the people that are sitting ringside will be fair. The fights that Iman has been in, those have been in her favor one-sidedly, you know, so far. Just because of who she brought in and how she performed that night. But, yeah, she's definitely a – and you guys have seen it. Like, if you've seen my Shin on Shin series where I talk about her and I talk about, you know, Tyrone Spong, and I talk about how she's going to be the fighter to kind of watch going into the future – in that interview, I'll never forget when I first turned the camera on and she just burst into laughter. Like, she just started giggling and, like, all of her movement was, she really is. And she was 16 at that time. I was like, she really is a teenager. Now she's 21, and she still smiles and laughs at everything. So she's just an absolute wonderful girl. I'm going to go ahead and throw some names at you of women that didn't have as big a year, some women that were injured that I want to see that are going to be emerging in the fight scene. Go ahead and wrap them up by saying all three of them at once. Anea Fuchs, Mariana Kellergi, and then Miriam Nakamoto is going to make her return this year. What are your thoughts on those three? Clearly the best of the three being Miriam Nakamoto, who was, again, in that role of, you know, not unstoppable, but she had been coming off huge wins, had the huge win over Kitchen, and then she, you know, was still looking for Muay Thai opportunities. She did an MMA fight. She went back to kickboxing. Then after that fight, she got injured in an MMA fight and was gone for most of last year. Older, like Kaylee Reese, head towards the end of her career, but she can still get two or three, you know, good fights. She can fight full rules Muay Thai. She can fight kickboxing. What are your thoughts on her? Anea Fuchs, same thing. Anea's not losing. Anea's winning, but she's not getting the names for people to go, oh, okay, you beat another name. She's just bringing in people that are kind of in the area to fight her, and she's also doing MMA as well. And then Mariana Kellergi actually was healthy last year, but, you know, promotions and Greece weren't as prominent as in earlier years. There weren't as many kickboxing opportunities because they usually bring in an opponent for her. And she's close to being the size of, you know, she's, I think, just weight-wise, probably closer to Van Soest and Kielholtz as opposed to the girls that would be on the Infusion show. But what are your thoughts on those three, Mariana Kellergi, Miriam Nakamoto, and Anea Fuchs?
Did you say that Miriam is coming back? Did you have...
Yeah, I talk to her coach all the time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Mira Nakamoto's coming back. Yeah.
That is really exciting. Really exciting. I find her like a, you know, the kind of bad girl of the sport, and I just find her really compelling to watch, even though sometimes I don't know. Maybe I won't go down that road. I'm really excited about that. Those fighters, they pop into the game and then sort of clean up and then pop out again and just kind of spoil a category. So I hope that she'll hang around for a little bit and actually sort of build a little bit. And you know what? I don't care. She'll come in and she'll do what she likes, and she's just always really compelling to watch.
And they said
very excited.
Cool.
Mariana is. Very gorgeous, very, very, just lovely to sort of look at. And they have, I don't know, they've got some pretty big promotions in Greece. They've got, I know that they've got one coming up in Cyprus. There's going to be a series of shows from a newly launched promotion whose name escapes me right now. So hopefully she'll get on that. And I hope, sort of within that part, this tying in with Anya, there's loads and loads of really good fighters in Germany who just don't seem to fight each other. So I would like to see them compete against each other a little bit more. Julia, there's a girl called Julia, and her surname begins with S, and she has about 7 or 8 titles at around 60, 63. And I would like to see her up against competition that's a bit more sort of stiff, and get her name out there. Anya won a world title in 2014, but I agree, she's just kind of flying under the radar a bit. I'm mentioning this radar of mine quite a lot. She's been flying under it. there's a lot of good fighters in Germany and around that could do with actually just fighting each other, building each other up, rather than just sort of being in isolation with a load of belts, in my opinion. I'm really excited about Miriam because Miriam's got sort of promotion behind her. She's definitely going to be big. And I really hope to see Mariana and Anya as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you said all the right things, and it is, as you said, Mira, Mariana, another fighter I've been watching since she was young, and she was able to fight in so many more fights when she was younger. And she's not old. She's 21 going on 22 years old. But, like, there was a period of time between her being 16 and 20 where, because she'd gone down to Thailand and, you know, people are willing, you know, the best thing for you as far as women's Muay Thai is to have no name. Like, people will give you a chance if you have no name. But she's very tall for the weight class, and she is a very attractive woman. Like she's aesthetically pleasing. So, like, she, if she has success, there will be a draw to her for sure. Like, people will want to see her fight. I'm hoping that she can get over to the States. I'd love to see her fight on Lion Fight. I'd love to see her fight on, you know, a lot of these other promotions to give her opportunities and so on. But, of course, Miriam Nakamoto, if they find the opponent, you know, I really believe that, you know, even though she's 38 years old, I'm almost certain she's 37, 38. She is very skilled and still very pretty and like, she's the kind of athlete that's got power in her knees and her hands. I really want to see her fight, so I'm excited about that. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap the show up right now. Rosie, this is your opportunity to get your vlog out there. Again, as you mentioned before, Rosie Hayward 1 on Twitter. But go ahead, tell people about your vlog. Tell people about your gym. This is your time to sell yourself.
This kind of the point of the vlog is that I don't sell myself. That's the thing that I'm really bad at. But I have a gym and it's very nicely equipped and I'm a very good coach. I've been in the sport 20 years and I'm trying to get people through the door so that I can coach them. And so I've started so that I can focus on that and focus on promotion. I'm doing a vlog and you can pick it up on Twitter and you can also follow it. My gym is called Sabai Muay Thai and Kickboxing. And there's a page for that on Facebook. And I'm not going to stop. I'm developing my video skills as well, so that it's been a bit just talking heads so far. But I'm going to do a walk and talk for my next vlog. And, it's given me a bit of a lease of life in the sport to focus on coaching. And, follow along. Why don't you?
As a fan, can I ask a vlog request? When you go to the seminar with Bereton and Iman, not only do you record yourself that day, but try to get a small interview with both girls.
Okay.
All right, cool. You hear that? Rosie is about the people. So I want to thank Rosie for coming on. And then just real quick for people that are wondering, I will talk about some of the fights that happened this past week. On next week's show, for example, the return of George Petrosian is a big deal. He came back, got a victory, and so on. So I'll talk about that later. But I really wanted to focus on the women for this episode and try to remember the names that we said. They're really, if you can't spell them, don't worry about it. Just say them into your phone because the smartphones, they have that option. But the real names that I wanted people to kind of take away that we talked about, Little Tiger, Rena, Tiffany Von Soest, Kaylee Reese, Julie Brezikova, Christina Jurjevic, Sam Brown, Mariana Kellergi, Miriam Nakamoto, Enya, A-N-I-A, Fuchs, F-U-C-Z, Erica Kimamoras, who I mentioned before, Denisa Kielholtz, Anessa Mexen. Those are names that you should definitely, definitely get a chance to, you know, look at, break these women down. Kaylee Reese, I'm pretty sure I said that one. Make sure I say it twice just in case I forgot her. Those are the women in the sport. If you Google them or if you say their names, you're going to see some awesome, awesome fighting. There are other names that didn't make the show, like Kelsey Andres is another woman out there. Natasha Sky is another woman out there. We can only get so many in, but I want you guys who listen to my show, follow Kickboxing, to give these women a try. Just check them out. Check out the Rena Bars, Christine Cyborg, Santos fight. Denise Kielholtz versus Alona Wymans. If you don't believe us, if you think that we're just saying these names, what's Ham's first name who fought Jemima Bertrain?
This is always happened.
Wonke Ham. Go ahead, look for those fights. I you won't it won't steer you wrong. I think you will really, really enjoy them. And these women are all very good and very skilled. So thank you again for listening to my podcast show, everybody. I'll get this posted up, and I will be back next week for my glory breakdown. Also, I will probably be on SheerDog.com pretty soon here. I'll keep you guys posted, but we've been in talks for them to move my show over there. So thank you again, everybody, and hopefully Rosie's not dying of sickness in the background.
I'm better.
For sure. Thank you again, Rosie, and everybody have a good one.
Bye.